I've already lost control and the show hasn't even started. Good morning, everyone. The second Friday of the month rolls around. And fortunately, firefighter Brian Meyer is here to talk about fire safety, but he brought two cohorts with him who we'll just try to keep them nameless and silent, but I don't know if we can do it. Welcome, firefighter Meyer. Glad to have you on board. What is your rank? I should call you...
Just firefighter.
Just firefighter.
Firefighter Meyer
is
fine,
okay,
or Brian.
Brian or firefighter Meyer will be good for this. I love it that you guys come all the time and help us learn a little bit about fire safety. And today, before we get to fire safety, we want to talk about recruitment for the fire department. It's really no secret that every business is having trouble getting qualified workers, and the fire department is not unusual in that. But right now we've got some openings, and these are great jobs. I mean, this can be a career that you can start when you're 21 years old, and it can last you a lifetime. So
absolutely.
Talk a little bit about the opportunities available now in Quincy.
Well, right now we have we got four firefighters starting, hopefully in the next month or so. And over the next 2 years, we have multiple retirements coming up. So we'll definitely be using this list for the next 2 years, and it's a great opportunity to get on the department. Like I said, the list lasts for 2 years. So unlike other jobs where there's an opening and you just apply for it, you have to be on this list to get hired on.
And so it's kind of interesting, because if you need a job today, this is really not going to help you, because being a firefighter takes training. First, you have to get qualified, you have to pass the test, and then you have to go to this training academy because, you know, you don't know how to do this just off the street. So it is a career. It's not just a job, it's a career opportunity. So if you're thinking, hey, I like what I'm doing now, but maybe I could have a different career or a more responsible career or a higher paying career, this would be the time to apply for that firefighter job. And sometime within the next year or two, you could be a Quincy firefighter.
Absolutely. I mean, I came on 4 years ago with no fire experience. I was in the military before this, and it just kind of clicked on me. I'm like, hey, you know, fire department sounds like a good job. So we encourage everybody to apply. That's within the age groups. We do have a little bit of restrictions on that. I can run through that real quick.
I know that sometimes if you let them, they have to be a certain age. And I know, like, you know, like Reed and those guys that are after that age, just goes to show it's a young man's game, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So you have to
once they get old and gray like Reed. You know, he's really not worth much anymore. He just follows you around. No, you're not allowed. There's no microphone for you. Okay, so what are some of the requirements besides in the older guys being obnoxious? And
so requirements are you have to be a U.S. citizen and then reside within Adams County within 18 months of getting employed. You have to have a high school diploma or equivalent. And then the age requirements, like I was talking about, it's a little restrictive. You have to be 20 and a half to 34 years of age at the test date, unless you are actively employed by an Illinois fire department within the last year, or if you are former military and turned 35 while you were serving in the military, then you can be up to 40 years old to apply to test.
Okay, so there are some age restrictions, but it makes a lot of sense. I mean, it's a career that you train for a lifetime. It's expensive to train firefighters. And, you know, it is a younger man's game as far as when you start out, that's when you're doing the most heavy lifting. That's when you're hauling the most hose, climbing the most ladders. By the time you advance in your career to chief, not that they can't still do all of those things. They are perfectly capable of doing those things, but you're not called on a day-to-day basis to do that kind of stuff. That's kind of your job, right, Brian Meyer?
Yes, I mean, we all of us on the trucks, we're all working. We all do the same amount of work, but it is being fit and being younger definitely helps, especially in the recovery time frame.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's a pretty good paying job. Talk a little bit about the salary. And, of course, it's hard to say what it'll be 2 years from now because of the long, extended process to get on the fire department. But, I mean, you started 4 years ago. Was the salary something that attracted you?
Absolutely. Currently, if you get hired on today, the salary for a starting firefighter is $50,884 a year. And then we also have some educational incentives on top of that.
So, like, if you're in the military or if you have a bachelor's degree or if you transfer from another department, you can get more money than that?
If you have your EMT basic license or paramedic license, if you have an associate's degree, or a bachelor's in fire science, there is a little bit of an increase.
Okay, so a bachelor's in Shakespeare doesn't help you at
no,
all. No,
nope.
Has to be in fire science. Well, that kind of makes sense. I don't want to quote poetry while I'm watching the building burn. Oh, lo, the flames go higher and higher. Yeah, I'll stand here while we rely on Brian Myers. See, Shakespeare right there, right off the top of my head. So if anybody's interested, first thing they do is contact the City of Quincy website, call the fire department. What do they do?
Yes, go to the City of Quincy website, scroll down to the What's New portion, and you'll see firefighter testing, and there'll be a click on that and follow the prompts through. You'll have a 23-page application that runs through your entire background history and all that. It has to be mailed in by August 26 at 4:30 p.m.
Okay. Now, the thing about this is, and this is kind of the strange thing about it, even if you think, well, I don't really want to work there for 2 years, you still have to have your application in by August 26th of this year.
Absolutely.
And that's one of the odd things about that job. Most people hire on a, I need somebody today, when can you start? You do need somebody today, but because of the delay in the hiring, the processing, the testing, it's not something where you can come out today and start Monday with the Quincy Fire Department. So if it's something you're interested in as a career, seriously think about it, and what the heck? Submit your application, take the test. I mean, it doesn't make you be a firefighter. It just gives you the opportunity.
Right. It definitely puts you on the list. It is. We do have the written test on Saturday, September 10th at 9 o'clock at John Wood Community College. Like you said, it's just taking the test. If you have any inkling of wanting to be a firefighter, if you think this might be a fun job, then absolutely sign up, take the test, and once you're on the list, you're on the list, and you can always turn down the job if you don't want to, but it's a great job. I can't say enough good things about the department and the job.
Okay, especially those who maybe out of high school go into the military, and now they put in their 2, 4, 6 years, whatever. This would be a nice transition out of the military, because in a sense, the fire department is a quasi-military organization. There's a chain of command. There's specific duties you do. So
absolutely,
we're
kind of based paramilitary-wise. We take orders from the officers. The firefighters take orders from the officers, and so on and so forth. It very reminiscent of my time in the Army as far as the rank structure and following the chain of command and everything. And with that, if you were in the military, you do get some extra points towards getting hired on. So we work on a points basis. 60% of your written test score is taken into account, and then you have the interviews with the police commissioners, and you get 40% of that score is your total score. And then if you have any special points like military, you get 5 points for being military. If you have associate's degree already, you get another 2 points. A bachelor's degree with fire science, it's 3 points. Having a paramedic license is another couple points. And you do get some points for being an Illinois firefighter as well. So there are plenty of ways to add more points to your total score.
Okay. So Brian Meyer, firefighter, thank you for telling us about that, folks. You have to apply by August 26th. So if this is something you're interested in, just do that. Get her done, as they say. Go to the City of Quincy website, and it must be mailed in. What else is on the agenda for the firefighters today?
We got public safety, firefighter safety, public safety. We always encourage everybody to, just be safe out there. With back-to-school season and everything coming up, I know I'm out at Station 5, 12th and Jackson Day, and I definitely saw a line of cars and going towards Quincy Notre Dame. So being aware of the school signs, being aware of kids out and about, walking to school and so forth is very important.
The other thing I know that you do, and I think COVID kind of reduced this effort or curtailed this effort, but hopefully you'll be back in the schools now. Don't you try to go and visit schools and talk about fire escape plans, to have maybe drills at a school so that the kids know what to do, maybe talk to them about the friendly monster. Talk a little bit about some of the public information for children, because often children will go home and teach their parents, where's our escape route? Where's that special place we're going to meet? I know what to do if there's a fire in our house. These are good things that you're teaching children.
Yep, absolutely. So with COVID, we did kind of reel that exposure out to the schools back. But this year, in October, we're going to get back out to all schools, grade schools, and run through our fire safety house, firefighters, or go through the safety plans, the smoke detectors, meeting spots, and what you did say about the kids going back home and teaching their parents, that is absolutely 100% correct. We want the kids to go back home and ask their mom and dad, hey, where are we supposed to meet if this happens? How do I get out of my second story window? Where's the smoke detectors at? All those things. So, and also getting the kids exposed to what firefighters look like in our gear, because we do look awful scary. We have
especially with that respirator going, yep. It sounds like a monster. So you have kind of the friendly monster program where you start out looking like Brian Meyer, and then you get all this gear on, and you tell the kids, but I'm still the same friendly guy, so don't hide under your bed to keep away from me. Come out and find me if I'm in your house and your house is on fire.
Absolutely, and it's all about exposure. If kids never seen that before, in fact, my daughter would be probably scared of me. She's probably never seen me in my turnout gear. So it's just about exposure, letting the kids know, hey, we're still the same person underneath. And, you know, if you need help, if your house is on fire, you know, you need to either stay in your room, if that's what you have to do, and stay in the middle of the floor and call out, or try to get out through a window or whatnot. But it's all situational dependent, but we just want to continue to have these young children exposed to the fire department and what we do, and so that way they're not scared of us and run and hide in the closet or, like you said, underneath the bed.
And the firehouse really helps because you can fill it with smoke, and they learn to crawl underneath the smoke line. So that is really great.
They listen to the smoke alarms, because some kids probably never heard of smoke alarms. So if it would go off in their home, they probably wouldn't know some of them might not know what to do. So understanding, you know, hey, that means there's danger. I need to get out.
Get out right away.
And learning how to feel the door, make sure they just don't try to open up the door right away. They feel the door. They look for the signs that there might be a fire outside their door.
Okay, so these are all important things, and Quincy firefighters will be doing that in October. I know 2 months ago we talked extensively about building inspections, and you guys are constantly doing that to make buildings safe. The smoke detector, I'm going to kind of leave it at that, Brian Meyer. As a firefighter, it's the law that every residence should have a smoke detector. Unfortunately, it is not true that every residence has a smoke detector, and there's really no reason not to have a smoke detector, because the Red Cross and the fire department will provide anyone with a smoke detector. So if you're living in an apartment unit and your landlord hasn't provided you with a smoke detector, if you live in a home or if you live in an apartment or wherever you are, they can come and you'll install it properly, because installation properly is half the battle too, right?
Absolutely. So we do partner with the Red Cross in providing and installing smoke detectors to the public. They just had to, I think it's called the Red Cross or the fire department, to schedule that, and one of our local engine companies will come out and install it for you and install it in the correct place, because placement is kind of a big thing. On the back of the packages, it shows you how it's supposed to be installed, not more than 12 inches from the ceiling or on the ceiling, but a certain distance away from the walls, because there are dead spots where air will just stagnate and maybe the smoke might not get to it. I know in my house, at the very end of my hall, I had a smoke detector for a long time, and any time I opened up my oven, it would go off. So installing it where it's not going to be in that stagnated air where you're going to either get false alarms or it's not going to go off at all is important.
Well, how am I going to know when dinner's ready if it doesn't go off? Okay, that's an old joke. That gets old after a while. Okay, so smoke detectors are very important. And, again, we try to report on this. Sometimes it's, as a news reporter, I try to educate every time we have talk about a fire. But it is so critically important. The smoke alarm does save lives. I mean,
absolutely.
If you have a smoke, if you arrive and that alarm is going off, most of the people are out of the building by then. You've got a better chance of saving lives. I mean, the building's still on fire, but it's got to be crushing to you guys when you go and they don't have a smoke detector. And now you've got people that've got smoke inhalation that need to be rescued and stuff like that. How often does that happen? Is it really still a problem? And we've been preaching this for decades.
Yeah, we still run into it now and again, where we do get into house after house fire. During the house fire, we notice, hey, smoke detectors weren't going off. I think it's a less common than what it was before, but we still run into it. And with this program with the Red Cross, there's absolutely no reason why anybody shouldn't have a smoke detector, because it doesn't matter who you are. where you live or anything, as long as you're within the city of Quincy. I think Tri-Township does a similar program, but as long as you're within the city of Quincy, call Red Cross or the Quincy Fire Department, and we'll come out and get it taken care of.
Okay, and you can buy your own smoke detector at any big box store. And again, if you're not even sure how to install it, just, you know, have them come out. They won't do it with the sirens blasting, but they'll come. And just like there's a child safety seat check that you have like once a month. They're not trying to ticket people for not having their kids belted properly. You're just trying to get it installed correctly.
Right. Yeah. We're not trying to get anybody in trouble. That's not our job. Our job is to just make sure that people are safe. That's all we care about, is as long as the citizens are safe. That's the number one goal here.
Well, if you're going to get anybody in trouble, I know who can get in trouble all by himself, and that's Firefighter Keith Reed. Okay, thank you so much. And when they come, folks, the reason that Brian Meyer is here with his cohorts is because they're on duty, and if the radio had gone off, they would have run out of here quick. So the truck's parked right outside. Don't be alarmed. We're passing all of our inspections. We're going to come back and talk about Jensen Woods Camp and the hull of a race. We'll take a break. We'll be right back. We are back, Talk Radio 930 WTAD. Ironically, we were just talking about my dad during that commercial break, and that's one of his favorite songs. I know it's weird. Why did my dad like The Walk of Life from Dire Straits? But he did. Anyway, my father had Parkinson's disease, and it was horrible. It really changed his life. It didn't ruin his life. I'm not going to go be melodramatic, but it certainly changed his life and made his later years not quite as wonderful as maybe the earlier years before he developed the disease. And today we're going to talk about the hull of a race. It's been going on for 16 years now, and it raises money for Parkinson's research. And Sandy Smith is here, and this takes place on Saturday, August 20th, early in the morning in the downtown park in Hull, and it kind of kicks off a whole day of Hull Park picnic activities. So kind of cool how this is all going on. So Sandy Smith, welcome to the Mary Griffith Show, and tell us a little bit about the hull of a race, please.
Thank you for having me, Mary. We appreciate having any publication, and this is a great one to have. Hull of a race, it began 16 years ago, as you said, and it began small. It took a while to grow. One of our founders, Marilyn White, loves to tell the story that the first year it was her and her husband, Sam and Mabel Reed, and their physical therapist, Lori. And Lori was the only one who had ever been in a race. Mabel and Jim were the only two that had ever been to a race, and yet they had a race, and they began with a stopwatch and a whistle and some clipboards, and 2006 was the first hull of a race. And from there, it has grown tremendously. Over the years, we have added professional timing. We've got a website. We had our race course certified, and we have a 5K and a 10K course. We've added hydration stations. We've received the 510C3 charity status, which helps with a lot of companies who will make donations to our cause. And that last couple of years, we've added, they not only walk our course, they run it, and they roll it. And that means strollers and wheelchairs or whoever would like to participate. It opens the door for everyone to take part.
Yeah, and the great thing about the race, too, is if you know someone who has Parkinson's now and is surviving, or someone who has passed, but Parkinson's, the thing about Parkinson's is it doesn't always end your life. It just makes the end of your life not quite so pleasant. My dad didn't actually die of Parkinson's disease, but I will tell you, when he was diagnosed with cancer, this is a strange reaction, but he said, thank God something's going to kill me. I really don't want to live much longer with this Parkinson's disease. So, my dad was a cheerful, jovial, upbeat, optimistic guy, but Parkinson's was about the last straw for him. So it affects people differently, but it is never good. And so we need to raise money for that. And if you want to run or walk or roll in honor of someone, you have that ability, right?
Correct. That is a new addition this year. For several years, we've had a family who walks because their patriarch has Parkinson's. So he walks, his wife walks, his children walk, and his grandchildren walk. And as a group, they walk the race to raise money for Parkinson's research. So this year, his daughter and his daughter-in-law took it upon themselves to join our group and look for people that we could honor that have Parkinson's or have died. And we will have stickers this year that any of the runners and walkers can pick up a sticker, stick it on their shirt, and look at our list of people. Maybe they know someone, maybe they don't, but they might want to walk in honor of someone that is fighting this terrible disease.
Okay. So this all takes place on Saturday, August 20th. And the great thing is you can get pre-registered. It's $30 per person, $10 for or $15 for children, and a whole family can register for $90. And you can choose whether you want to do the 5K or the 10K run, or if you'd rather walk those distances or roll in a stroller or a wheelchair or whatever. But the bottom line is the registration money goes to Parkinson's research. And let's talk a little bit about the fact that it is a timed or chipped race. A lot of people spend every weekend going to a sanctioned race like this just to try to improve their time, try to improve their physical fitness. So those who are looking for a race on a Saturday, August 20th, this is your race down in Hull, Illinois.
Exactly. And this race is unique in that it begins in the downtown area of the little village of Hull. The track begins in the streets of Hull. Eventually, they come out to the highway, which is 106 that goes through Hull, and then circle back around and come in the back way, as we say, back into the downtown area again. If they do the 10K, they branch off at one point, run the extra distance and back. But it's a flat, easy course for anyone who likes to run.
There is no hill in Hull.
That's correct.
So it's a hell of a race. That's a pretty easy race. If you want to try to better your time, you can really go all out. Now, you can register the morning of the race at 7 a.m. The adult run is at 8. The kids' fun run kicks off at 7:45 to get them out of the way and get their fun over with. And, of course, all you have to do is go to Hull of a Race, H-U-L-L, hullofarace.com to register. But let's talk a little bit, Sandy Smith, after the race is over, people can stick around in Hull. They've done their good deed for Parkinson's research, and now they can rest and relax and refresh themselves with all kinds of activities all day long in Hull.
Correct. That morning, shortly after the race, we have numerous activities. I don't have a complete list, but I know there's a pet show, there's a baby contest. The day culminates, of course, in the evening with their big chicken fry, which starts at 4 o'clock and is a big draw to our community. Well known for their good fried chicken.
Yeah, that's one of the big draws that comes down. Children's games and a parade. And if you don't want fried chicken, there's sandwiches. Well, you know, if you want to go there at noon, if you want to eat at noon at the sandwich booth and wait till fried chicken for Saturday night, you can spend the whole day in Hull. It's kind of like your little town picnic.
Correct. And in addition to our runners contributing to our cause, we also run a raffle. We have a lot of area donations that are given to us, gift certificates and items that we donate. We also have a silent auction. We have a quilt that is made by one of our founder, Marilyn White's good friend. That will be auctioned also. So we're selling tickets for all of those raffles, and all of that helps tremendously in our final cause, along with our sponsors, who are our big contributors. They are those that contribute $100 or more, and their T-shirts, the backs of their T-shirts, have all those sponsors' names on them.
Yeah, the T-shirt has become a collector's item.
Correct.
So
you
didn't bring one, so I have to ask you, what does it look like this year, or is it a secret?
Well, it isn't a secret, but I honestly cannot describe it. It does depict our area. We're a farm area. It has corns. It has runners. It is a charcoal gray. I haven't seen the final product. It is actually in the works right now. But all of those sponsors' names that we appreciate so greatly are on the back of those T-shirts.
Yeah, it's a cool thing. I mean, the one I have is like this bright neon yellow. You can't miss it. But every year there's a different color and a different, little bit of a different design. But it's always about running through the cornfields and being out in the whole area. celebrating. What kind of money are you hoping to raise? What have you raised in the past, and where does this money go?
Well, when we started out, the first 2, 3, 4 years, Marilyn says she's not even sure how much money was collected. But when we reached about the 2016-17 point, we sent $10,000, and we ended up sending $10,000 for several years. Then we had a year that it rained, and we had the race, even in the rain, but it dropped our amount some. We had to cancel during COVID in 2020, so that put a little hitch in our problems, but not much, because last year we came back strong, and we sent $14,000 to the St. Louis area for Parkinson's research, and that gives us kind of a total of $103,000 that we've sent in the 16 years, less than 16 years. So we would love to have the best amount possible, but we're appreciative of whatever we can get, because we're doing it for research. They're running for a reason.
They're running for a reason, and the great thing about it is, you know, this money, I know that's where a lot of people around here are treated in St. Louis. They have a huge center there that specializes in Parkinson's disease. And let me tell you, folks, this can happen to anyone at any age. My father, who knows when he got it, but it became noticeable, shall we say, when he was 70. You know, he probably had it before then, obviously, but it really started to change things when he was 70. But we would sit in the waiting room down there at the Parkinson Center with people that were in their 20s. And, and also the other thing is, of course, I was critically afraid, is it hereditary? And they have done a lot of research, and they don't believe it is. But every once in a while, if I get a little bit of a tremble in my hand, the fear of God gets in me, because I definitely don't want to get it. But that's one of the things. It's a neurological disorder, so it's all about the brain. And they are making great strides in treatments, I know. I know my father was in an experimental drug group. Now, we didn't find out till later that he was getting the placebo. But what was really funny about that placebo... Oh, Gretchen is here. I thought I was calling her on the phone. Okay, I'm sorry. I just saw that my guest who I tried to call on the phone wasn't here, so we're going to end this, and I'm going to get Gretchen on. I thought I was calling her on the phone. Okay, well, Sandy, I just want to say that, you know, when I was down there, my dad, he got excellent care, excellent treatment, and they were experimenting with drugs back then. So this is the kind of stuff that you're helping. People here locally will be helped that have Parkinson's disease by what's happening with Hull of a Race. How can we register?
You can still register online up until one day next week. The day of the race, you can start registering at 7. I'm okay. Sitting there at the registration desk, and we'll get you ready for the race.
Okay. They have T-shirts available, you have to, you know, at this point, you just have to take what sizes are available. But you're not doing it for the T-shirt. You're doing it to raise money for Parkinson's disease. So bring your money down. The adult run is at 8 o'clock. Get there early. Watch the kids' fun run, which starts at 7:45. This is a certified and timed course. It starts at the downtown park in Hull. It ends at the downtown park in Hull. And then you can hang around, because all day long they're going to have a picnic that's going on all day in the park, children's games. There'll be a parade. There'll be all kinds of food and drink. There'll be all kinds of vendors there. And then about 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon, they'll start serving that delicious fried chicken dinner, which you don't want to miss. So the Hull of a Race is just part of what's happening in Hull for their town picnic all that day. But it certainly is a great way to start the day.
It certainly is. And we invite all to come and join the fun, and definitely help us run and walk for a reason so that Parkinson's research can continue.
Okay. Sandy Smith, thank you so very much. We'll take a break. When we come back, Gretchen Forsyth is here. Yay! We're going to learn all about Jensen Woods Camp. Hang on. We're back, Talk Radio 930 WTAD, and there's an old-fashioned game called telephone. See if you can figure out what somebody's saying. Well, I talked to Gretchen yesterday. She said, call me at home at 930 on Friday morning. Well, she's not at home. She's in Quincy, but she's not here. So she is on the phone. She's at a different phone number than she gave me, but the most important thing is Gretchen Forsyth has some announcements today about Jensen Woods. Gretchen, you've got some winners to announce. And you also want to talk about soup in the woods, so take it away.
Okay. Well, we have some happy kids from Adams County because Sloan will get notified today that she has won $100 towards camp credits, and Brandon has won $50, and those are both from Adams County. They registered at the fair. And on Brown County, Caleb has won $100 camp credits, and Henry has won $50 camp credits. So all of them will be notified today. But that's breaking news on the Mary Griffith Show. How's that?
That sounds great. I'm glad to have it. Now, Jensen Woods Camp, you've been still working. It's up and running. Everything is great. You've had a full summer of camping activities, and the kids are loving it, and you're going to be back again in 2023. But you always have fundraisers coming up, and you've got Soup in the Woods, and this is a fabulous fundraiser. Let's talk about this, please.
Yes, it really is. Everybody needs to put this on their calendar. It's Saturday, October the 15th from 3 to 6, and Sunday, October the 16th from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. And by then, the fall colors will be absolutely gorgeous, and you can come on U.S. Route 24 and go towards Timewell and turn north and follow the signs 5 miles, and you will get lots and lots of homemade soup, taco soup, potato soup, oyster soup, stuffed pepper, vegetable chili, chicken noodle, pulled pork, hot dogs, toasted cheese sandwiches, and yummy, yummy, yummy homemade desserts.
I'm sold, yes. Count me in. Count me in on all the great food. Now, this Soup in the Woods is Saturday, October 15th from 3 to 6 in the evening, or Sunday, October 16th from 11 to 2. And while they're on the campus of Jensen Woods, in addition to eating the soup, you'll also they can go hiking around the property. They can look over the property. You might even have a hay bale ride or something to give people an idea.
Well, We've got wagon rides.
Good.
We've got pumpkin decorating. There's all kinds of games. And we have a corn box that the kids can play in, and vendors, all kinds of vendors who will be selling things. And it's just a beautiful, beautiful time of the year to take your family out and enjoy nature. And like I say, the colors are usually just beautiful. 558 acres, so it's not a little tiny camp, it's a great big camp.
Now, summer, of course, is your peak time for usage, especially by children, but Jensen Woods Camp has family camping other times of the year, am I correct?
Yes, yeah, we're open every day of the year, and in fact, we had our board meeting last night, and there was a family friends group that were camping in one of the tree houses and tent camping, and so there was cars coming and going, and there's always something to do at Jensen Woods Camp, and we have a new telephone number. Everybody needs to write this down. It's 217-939-9306. So you can give that number a call at any time, and we will give you directions of how to get there. And in June and July, we have kids camps, and we have family camps and mother-daughter camps, but we have RV camping. You can rent the caretaker house that sleeps 11. You can rent the A-frame that sleeps 9. We have bunkhouse rooms that sleep 4 to 6, and it's just a beautiful time anytime to come commune with nature.
Okay. Commune with nature is what it is all about. It is Saturday, October 15th from 3 to 6 for Soup in the Woods, or Sunday, October 16th from 11 to 2. And, of course, if your family wants to get out in the great outdoors, they can do that by registering and calling 217-939-9306. We're out of time. Thank you so much, Gretchen Forsyth with Jensen Woods Camp near Timewell.